Would you call yourself a socialist?
No.
You've never told a lie in politics?
No.
See, somebody sent me a video actually last Friday, and it had you talking at the socialist union.
Yes.
And you mentioned the word comrade about four times in a minute. What was that about?
It was a rally, and I would have been about 25 years old.
Comrade.
That was in 2009.
Oh, well, I can't remember which country it was in.
Has it changed since those days?
No, not particularly. No.
Hello, welcome back to Liberty NZ. I'm Grant Edwards, and with me is Auckland lawyer Liz Lambert. And today we're going to be talking about the mask mandates. And we are doing this on the 4th of November 2022. And I've just gone into Whangarei Hospital, and walked in the front door, and it was all good because she was busy, preoccupied, and I didn't have to put my mask on. And went up and saw my friend, and then who was in the hospital, and there was four other people in the beds, and they and all their visitors didn't have masks on, but apparently they're supposed to have a mask on. And I was told by a nurse, you have to wear a mask in the hospital. That's the law. She said it's a law, and I said, oh, I didn't think it was a law. I thought a mandate wasn't a law. And am I right or am I wrong? Have the government overstepped the mark, making us wear masks in a public place? I know businesses can kick you out if you don't follow their rules. But that's private. This is public. We're the ones that pay for the hospitals. What do you say, Liz, being a legal mind?
I think you might be right, actually. This whole word mandate, if you look at the, it's kind of a term of art. It's not in any of the orders. Right now, what's happened, as far as I know, with the orders is that the hospitals are the only ones, and one would think the public hospitals are the only ones who can sort of put their hand up and say, well, you know, we're still required to do something. But of course, as I talked about constantly, right from that first podcast, we talked about the exemptions grant.
Yeah.
It was always voluntary on the part of the CEO of the PCBU. Now, you remember the CEO of the PCBU, that sort of wording comes out of the Health Act. Sorry, not the Health Act. The Health and Safety at Work Act,
yes.
2015. It also appears that the Australians have finally got their head around it too, just like the Americans did back in January of 2020 this year, that in actual fact, COVID-19 is not a workplace hazard. So you can't deal with it under workplace rules. There's a new video just been shown. I think his name, he's a senator, I think, in the Australian Parliament.
Oh, yeah, Senator Roberts.
No, Ricardo, something like
that. Ricardo, Bozzi.
No, not Ricardo either, somebody else.
But he's not
anyway,
a senator.
Anyway, I think I think they're talking about, because the background to it isn't very clear, as to what the context is, but I think they're talking about making an amendment to the Fair Work Act, which I think might be a bit of a the equivalent to our Employment Relations Act, and I think that they're trying to put in there somewhere where employers can basically take responsibility for public health initiatives in their businesses. Certainly, government agent businesses, if you like. Now, he's really giving them a hard time because he's talking about many things, about the vaccinations, and talking about their Minister of Health and their Chief Medical Officer as not having even read anything about what the contraindications were before going ahead. In terms of what the why I say is they seem to have picked up on the idea of it, because then he was talking about, you know, you can't be expecting businesses in Australia to be picking up responsibility for something like this, right? So it's quite a long video, and you'll no doubt it's been spread about quite a lot.
What's it called, Liz?
Sorry, I read it earlier today. I watched it earlier today.
Okay,
but it was really him talking about, you know, what I've been saying. COVID-19 is not a workplace hazard.
Okay,
but we know why they used the Health and Safety at Work Act 2015, because they didn't want to use the perfectly sensible act called the Health Act 1956.
Right.
And the special powers that are granted to the minister, the chief medical officer under that act, then also show the boundaries of what can be done under that act. And of course, you cannot even touch a person without their fully informed consent.
Yes.
Same under the, you know, the Health and Safety Work Act makes that clear. You can't do that in a work setting. But there's a set of principles starting from Section 92A, capital A, which are obviously being put in, I'm not sure what day, 2017, I think. But anyway, they are all about, you know, what can be done. But more importantly, what can't be done, and what can't be done is under Section 92I for Indigo, subsection 5, as we talked about in our videos that we did last week. What can't be done is to enforce or to compel any medical treatment.
Right.
Right?
That's where they're coming from in America. It's a device, isn't it? It's a medical device is what they're trying to push on us.
Well, it's a medical treatment. I mean, the if you like, a medical treatment to...
Oh, you mean the vaccine?
Transmission. The vaccine is absolutely... Without any shadow of a doubt, vaccine is. And I would argue, too, that from when you look at the rules about testing in, you know, international papers and fully informed consent about tests. I mean, there's even big questions raised about whether you can take urine samples, whether you can, definitely blood tests are a big no-no. This thing about taking people's DNA, forcing them to give their DNA, but, you know, the rules around that, you have to have actually committed some sort of offence before they even approach it, and then it's all hedged about with lots of rules. A breath test is probably the safest thing that they can do, because a breath test has got no effect, if you like, on the
body. And it's not invasive.
It's not invasive at all, and you can be, you know, you can give your consent to that pretty safely, yeah?
Yeah.
But everything else, I mean, taking bodily fluids under the Health and Safety at Work Act has to be with the giving a sample, they call it there, has to be with the fully informed consent of the person who's giving it. Now, that's in a work situation. The other situation, of course, we will see people being required to give breath tests, etc., is, you know, where they're trying to stop drink driving, and people speak into the thing. I've done it a couple of times. I haven't got any problem with that. There's no way to get my DNA out of it. I don't think there is anyway. But anyway, even if that were the case, I'm not, personally, I'm not bothered with breath tests. And that was what was one of the things in the Section 83 letters suggesting to employers, that, you know, breath testing was available in New Zealand, and that's where they would be able to test for COVID-19 in the workplace if they were concerned about it. But the rest is totally illegal. Now, getting you want to talk about the mask in the public place? So,
Do they have? Are they really? Is it really lawful that they can make you put a mask on in a public place indoors, like a hospital or a library or a council building?
They're not still doing that with the council buildings and libraries.
I don't know. No. But they are in hospitals and any medical setting.
In hospitals,
private or public.
Yeah, any medical setting. Okay. Or private or public, they're still trying that on. Yeah, well, as you say, the private one is a rule.
Yeah.
That, excuse me, they can probably, they probably can enforce.
Yes, but they think, they sell it to you like this, Liz. They say, no, it's a mandate. You have to. It's the law, but it's not the law in a private building. They choose to in a private building.
Mm. Yeah, but a mandate is not a law. You're correct in that. A mandate is basically between two parties that are in some sort of contractual relationship.
And they need to consent.
That's right. But but mandating is a verb, it's not a noun. This thing is like, I'm going to mandate you.
That's why they chose it, because it sounds like law, doesn't it?
It does. And you can see from all of these, and this is where I say that Jacinda was telling the truth when she said they weren't going to mandate anybody, because they didn't. It was all
trickery.
It was all the businesses. It was the hospitals. It was the schools, etc.
But do the hospitals, being a publicly owned, they're publicly owned buildings, and everything that goes into those hospitals is paid for by our money, taxpayers' money. Are they lawfully entitled to make us put stuff on our face before we enter?
Well, a lot of these things, Grant, is that they haven't been to court yet, As I'm saying, I'm in the process of putting together an application for judicial review of the whole act, not just the vaccine order, but those things about freedom of movement, etc. Because after they pulled it all together through the Health Act 1956, and they rely for the justification on the Health Act as well. So for their justification for correct action, if you like, okay. So under Section 129, you'll see Section 129 of the Health Act quoted in Section 34 of the 2020 Act. So if you look at Section 34 of the 2020 Act, it'll tell you, I think the heading is protection for persons acting, for persons enforcing or acting under the Act. Can't remember what exactly the thing is. But basically, and then you go to Section, you have to go to the Health Act 1956, and you'll find find under section 129, you'll find that everybody, even if they make a mistake of law, or they, you know, as long as it's in good faith and they're not careless, right? They're not careless. Now, the thing is, they're talking about action under the Health Act, right? So then you go and look at the Health Act and you see that none of the vaccination stuff can survive in the Health Act, because for a start, you can't give compulsory medical treatment under section 92. But if you look at the at what the special powers of the medical officer of health are, none of it, pretty much the only thing they And let's go back to basics here. Everything in the Health Act is the state and the individual. Okay, those are the two parties. Now, the state cannot do anything except what is expressly provided for. Okay, now going back to the is there an express provision to mask people in the Health Act? No, not groups at least. You might ask for somebody who's got a proven medical condition, who's been, you know, required. There's things like you can require people to be tested to see if they've got a condition. But you wouldn't be testing anybody who was asymptomatic for a start. And there's definitely no mention of groups of people in the Health Act. Okay, it's all about the individual. So what can you do? If you go by the maxim, it's the opposite of the maxim of what the individual can do. The individual can do everything except something that is expressly forbidden. However, the state is hogtied to be forbidden to do anything except that which is expressly allowed. So if they're relying for their justification to do things on the Health Act 1956, it always has to be individual people who are required to do certain things. Okay. They haven't got anything expressly written down in law that says they're allowed to say to groups or allowed to say to businesses, you do X, Y, Z, right? Because their justification lies in the Health Act. That act was specifically put together and designed to take care of situations where we had a public health emergency or, we're dealing with infectious diseases, right? And yes, you can do things. It can do a lot of things in the expressly allowed to test and to test cargoes and ships and aeroplanes and animals and you can probably even test individuals, but you can't require great groups of people to be lined up like cattle and tested. Now, if you and they also have to get if somebody doesn't comply, straight, you know, like they say, no, I'm not getting tested, then they have to actually get a court order to get you tested.
Okay,
that's in the Health Act.
Right.
Right. So. But
and they'd have to prove that there was that I was a risk. They'd have to prove that person was a risk to the public.
Yes.
But do you think the judge
would just... Because you've got all things...
Would he just, you know...
Sorry.
buckle? Would the judge just buckle and go with the authority, or would they go with the rights of the person?
Well, the courts have got to always, you've got to remember that we've got rights under the Bill of Rights Act as well. And one of those rights, I think it's Section 27, is that all tribunals and public bodies, etc., when they're making decisions, they have to do them under the rules of natural justice. So if we're looking at bringing in, and we're talking about what the courts have to do, because remember that what the judicial reviews thus far have been focused on is what the executive were up to. But the executive is only one of the three arms of government. So it's when you get it to court that you've got to point out to the courts, hey, guys, you're one of the ones who was bound by the Act, okay? So they're the ones who are bound, and we're the ones who've got rights, okay?
Yes.
So they have to act.
The Crown is bound by the Act, yeah.
The Crown is bound by the Act.
Mm.
The judiciary are bound by the Act, and Parliament is bound by the Act as well. We yeah. haven't scratched the surface of Parliament yet, but we will. But yeah, it was the executive alone that made the orders. Parliament made the Act itself, and of course, you know, the Attorney General is supposed to make sure that any Act is not breaching any rights of the individual. Right, any rights of the individual, because it's the individual who's got the rights. No groups have got rights under the Bill of Rights Act.
Right.
It's not like the Human Rights Act. The Human Rights Act, groups have got rights. Groups of people. If you belong to a particular group of people, you've got rights. If you and this is why we're trying to bring the unvaccinated in as a group of people under the disability prohibited discrimination against people who have a medical disability, a health disability,
yeah.
And that's section 21(1)(h)(7). Now that is exactly the same argument that's been used by the Nike employees against Nike, that it's what it is what's called a perceived disability. And we've got exactly the same sort of legislation under our Human Rights Act as they have, you know, obviously have in the United States, because, you know, it's exactly the same route to get at the discriminator. So the discriminator under the Human Rights Act isn't necessarily, well, it can be anybody. It can be the state. It can be private. It can be landlord. It can be people in shops. I mean, here's one, Grant. Under the Human Rights Act, you could say that they believe that people just people who happen to be in the hospital have got this disease that they're going to be passing around to somebody. Well, for a start, under the Health Act, you have to be tested and proven to have it, right? And as a public hospital, they've got that duty on them under the Health Act. And then you could also say, well, also in the private hospitals or places like that, they are discriminating under the Human Rights Act.
But that's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. So everyone that bars you from coming in because you're wearing a mask, we're discriminating because you weren't wearing a mask.
Yeah.
In private businesses as well.
Because you weren't wearing a mask.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they need to
and remember you can have,
prove that you've got something
remember,
wrong with you.
But the thing is, those things too, that those rules about those exceptions, you know, that you got, the little tag you got, they still work as well. Make you wear a mask if you've got a tag.
Oh, right. What, I've got one of those, I have one in the truck. Now tell me, why did the government just jettison the mandates apart from the medical? Why did they just drop everything like a hot potato?
To the truth.
Because they're frightened, don't they?
Very close to the truth.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. They are. Yeah. There was something I was, somebody sent me a report about, oh, that's right, the pink-haired lady and all the Martini lot. Yeah, got very upset because the Ministry of Health, somebody had sent the Ministry of Health and OIA, Official Information Act request, about was it true that the Ministry of Health didn't want people tested because the workforce was getting a bit sparse, and
that's exactly it. Yeah,
and the pink-haired lady and the rest were most upset because it was like, oh, you know, you've allowed the spread of it, and you know, you're terrible.
But they're not. I think she's delusional. Way. That one, old Pinky.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they considered themselves, you know, the hottest thing in town, being you know, telling everybody what to do. She was appearing,
stay at home,
on videos to workers, telling them all about, you know, what they should be doing, and the employers was, you know, no doubt paying this lot.
Yes, yeah.
I don't think nothing to do with government. They're just a think tank. You know, who gets low, I think they've got $15 million in government contract, you know, to be part of
it's the our
stage
money.
Show.
Our money,
yeah. So, I mean, those 1 o'clock shows they had on with the PM, she's described, if you look them up on Wikipedia, she's described that's kind of described as a TV show. And her as the media star.
Oh no.
Yeah. So
well, I think her gig is over. I think her gig is almost at an end. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But there's gonna be a lot of very angry customers. Yeah. I think the Australians are finally going to be getting ready to sue the pants off there, you know. But we've got to remember, oh, that's right, I saw something else too, excuse me, about Australian doctors being told, no, you have to have your own personal liability insurance. The government thought about doing it but decided not to. So you guys that didn't give in fully informed consent to your patients, if the patients want to come back.
Oh, yes, of course. They're personally liable, so they need insurance big time.
Yes.
And the insurance companies, if they wake up, the premiums will be through the roof.
Yeah, but here's the great thing. It doesn't come out of our treasuries then. It comes out of the insurance companies.
Yeah. That's
so
right.
Excellent. Because
it comes out of the doctor's pockets because they're paying the premiums. And if
and the doctor, a lot of doctors will be ruined.
Serves the buggers for not, yeah, what a shame. Serves them right for not standing against the government and standing for real science instead of the rubbish that they just buckled for and just did what they were told by a spin doctor.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, well, you're a doctor, all right. Running the show, a spin doctor, you're right.
Doctor Spin Doctor. Doctor Spin, tell me, so next time I walk into the hospital and they say, no, you've got to wear a mask, and I say, well, but this is a public place, and I say, it doesn't matter, you've got to wear a mask.
Well, I would I would say, well, it depends on if you want to engage with them, but you should say, well, do you realise this is a, I can approach under the Human Rights Act, I can approach the commission and complain about discrimination. You're perceived that I'm a person that is carrying a disease that can, and you have no proof and no evidence of that whatsoever. In fact, if you want to do that, you've got to get me before the court. Somebody's got to, the health, I guess the medical officer of health has to apply to the court to have me tested, because I'm not going to be tested for any of this rubbish anymore.
So what they would do, though, they would say they would call the police. And the police, what would they do? They would just be enforcers for the hospital.
The police will probably, because they're mob handed, they'd say, right, go, get out. And then they'd drop it.
Yeah, they would drop it.
But, you know, this is the thing. This is why we need to keep up the high profile and what the courts are doing, what the cases are that are being taken forward, whether they're in the Human Rights Commission. We're assisting one of our members to take a case. I'm also thinking that that there is another. It's not just disability, health disability, but in terms of if you're not employed and you're looking for it, that's another case where people are not allowed to discriminate against you. Your status as being unemployed under, I think it's K, under the prohibited forms of discrimination, it's just sort of come to my attention.
Are you saying they can't discriminate against you being unvaccinated?
Yes, yeah.
Right, well, that's good.
So, So
thank you, Liz.
We know that from Section 23 of the Health and Safety at Work Act that you're not allowed to discriminate against people in any way. When you advertise or put out any feelers for people, you're not allowed to discriminate.
So, just asking the employee, the prospective employee, are you vaccinated? Wouldn't that be a form of discrimination?
It is. Yeah, it is.
You shouldn't be allowed to ask.
Discrimination.
I know that Ron DeSantis in Florida has ruled, and I think it was a $50,000 fine for any business or employer asking an employee whether they were vaccinated or not.
$50,000 US. That's the case that would be, that's the sort of damages that people will be seeking from employers who are doing this stuff.
That's good stuff, isn't it?
But we've got it, because this is all new, Grant, we can't say definitely, but we can look at other countries and see what's happening. All of the people in the States and Australia and not so much the UK yet, but getting their jobs back and their back pay
Thank you, Liz. We've got 3 minutes to run. I think you've covered it. We've got a bit of work to do, haven't we?
Okay. We have, but that's our work. That's why we were born.
Yeah.
That's why we were put on the earth, obviously.
Yeah, that's right. I'm speaking with Liz Lambert, Auckland lawyer, and Liz has been instrumental in many of the cases right around the country and helping a lot of people that have been discriminated against by the vaccines and the mandates. And so we've learned today that mandates are not law.
Yep, that's for sure.
Thank you very much, Liz. Until next time.
You're a word that will live in infamy for a long time.
Oh, boy, I just can't wait till these guys are held accountable for what they're doing.
Yeah, well, under the Health and Safety at Work Act, there's going to be private prosecutions and they can get fined $3 million a pop.
Good. I just hope...
Yeah.
that people don't give up and just keep the pressure on. Don't think it's over, because unless we keep the pressure on, they'll do it again.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Well, that's is why we've got the union. This is why we've got the number 8 workers union.
Yeah.
Of New Zealand Incorporated. Check it out on the Facebook page.
On the people. Facebook
we've
page.
We've got a website. Yeah, and we've got a website called number8.org.nz, and you can go and find out lots of things there. Yeah.
Thank you very much. We're speaking with Liz Lambert. Thank you, Liz. Until next time.
Thanks very much, Grant. See ya. Bye. Bye.
People should not be walking around with masks. Let me just state for the record that masks are not theater. Wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better.
And masks are protective.
But it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
There has not been any indication that putting a mask on and wearing a mask for a considerable period of time has any deleterious effects.
There are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course.
You do not need to wear a mask indoors if, in fact, you've been vaccinated. Good that you're vaccinated, but in a situation where you have people indoors, particularly crowded, you should wear a mask.
So even if you are vaccinated, you should wear a mask.
That if, in fact, you are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, you are protected, and you do not need to wear a mask outdoors or indoors.
When the children go out into the community, you want them to continue to wear masks.
You know, if you look at children outside, particularly when they're with the family, walking down the street, playing a game or what have you, don't have to wear a mask.
The Academy of Pediatric actually makes that recommendation that children should be wearing masks from 2 years old onward.
And you're asking now, if your child is a member of your household, can you walk outdoors with your child without a mask? According to that chart, the answer is yes.
But the child can't, not to beat it to death. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Because now the CDC says, I mean, I think I've got this right. One mask is better than zero masks. Two masks is better than one mask. But you don't have to have double masks. Is that right? I mean,
you know, it became clear that cloth coverings that you didn't have to buy in a store, that you could make yourself, were adequate. And then you want it to fit better. So one of the ways you could do it, if you would like to, is put a cloth mask over, which actually here and here and here, where you could get leakage in, is much better contained.
And are you a double masker, Dr. Fauci? Look like you are.